thank heavens we are back where we belong, here in the building of a news gathering organization and not on the bench of a basketball game. Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer, Prep Sports Now on a Monday morning. We're presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. I can never get this right. It just comes out wrong. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. We want you to get to your next game safe. Download us on iTunes. And hopefully you saw us coaching the Las Vegas All-Star basketball team on Saturday, because you're never going to see it again.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
We might get invited back. Hopefully not. Hey, this is my question is Jeff Kaufman, who we're very thankful invited us, the Coronado basketball coach. Was he doing it because he likes us and he enjoyed our basketball covers, or were he doing it to make us look bad?
No, he was doing it because he enjoys our basketball coverage. In fact, Coach called me Saturday night and thanked us for doing it, said everybody appreciated it and liked us. We lost 86-42 was the score.
That sounds right. I actually don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, 86-42 to Finley Prep. They're as good as advertised. Nigel Williams-Goss, 10 for 10 from the field for 22 points. Also had 10 assists and 5 steals. And I think that's what really got us right away, is we weren't prepared for the full court press, because they pressed us right out of the gate. And if they would have done that at the end of the game when we were playing our non-D1 guys, it would have been even worse. But I thought they were going to at least let us bring the ball up the court.
Yeah, and don't worry. I know probably most of our listeners want to hear football. We're going to get to football, but we got to touch on this a little bit. I mean, this is
a prep sports podcast, yeah, and it was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The thing that stuck out to me was I enjoyed just interacting with some of the kids. I felt like it was a good group of guys. It was the All-Stars. There were about 20 teams in this tournament at Coronado. They took one player off of every team. A couple teams got two, with the Allen twins, of course, and the couple kids from Gorman. The Allen twins, I think those guys are going to be special this year. I really thought they, look, we were outmatched. Finley's a ridiculous program, but they were kind of it just seemed like they were always kind of under control on the court and knew what was going on. I think they're two pretty bright kids.
They are, and I think potentially those two kids could lead Centennial to the state title. I mean, Gorman is down this year. They lose the Big Four. And Centennial's got these two kids going to Stanford. They're elite defenders. And I think during a 32-minute game, if some of Centennial's other players could contribute, maybe Centennial could run the table and win state. I think they've got a good chance at least to do so. And you were talking about good kids. You know, obviously you and I aren't basketball coaches, and our performance, at least my performance, surely didn't merit that.
Neither did mine. What did I do differently than you?
Well, I'll tell you. But at least these two kids were real respectful of us. And you could just tell their professionalism. And like the Steven Zimmerman kid, he's played high-level AAU. He's been recruited. The USA team, another guy who had fun and respected us, which I thought was real cool. And here's my breakdown of the night. And I know nobody really – if you want to hear football, we'll get to that. I'll talk about those Green Valley Gators later. But you do a great job in football and in this basketball coaching and, like, looking at the game in terms of, like, the screens and the formations and, like, whether it's the offensive or defensive line in football, or, you know, that Julian Jacobs is driving to the hole good in basketball, you do a good job of picking that up. Whereas during the game, you know, we had 20 kids, and, you know, everybody knows I played soccer at Shap. What you don't know is that my team was so good that even though I was a semi-decent player, that I was one of those guys on the bench. So I'm always aware of those guys on the bench and trying to get them in. And when you got 20 kids, that's a lot of minutes for a lot of kids. And we couldn't get our best players, a lot of consistent run, because 2 minutes into the game, we got to pull somebody out. And we said before the game, folks, Case and I agreed, Julian Jacobs from Desert Pines, who's got offers from like USC, Utah, Virginia Tech, and the Allen twins who are committed to Stanford, that they're three guys we need in the game at all times, because we need somebody to bring the ball up. So what do I do 4 minutes into the game? I take out Julian Jacobs when the twins are on the bench.
Yeah, well, we said we needed to keep one in at all times.
Yeah,
is what we said.
One of the three in at all times.
And we did not live up to that. But, hey, look, maybe it was fun. It was a great experience. Maybe we shouldn't even have been called coaches. Pretty much our job was to make sure everyone got to play. It's pretty much like we were, quote-unquote, I'm not calling myself this, we were, quote-unquote, someone else said this, like, celebrity substitutors.
Yes.
We had to make sure kids got in, right?
Yeah, make sure that the kids got in. Now, if we had to do it all over again, would we have just come up with four teams of eight? Or no, four teams of five and just let them play 8 minutes each?
No, I don't think so. I think everybody would have played more.
We got a huge hole early. Nigel Williams drains a three-pointer on Finley's first possession, and we're down the rest of the way. And even our better players who we started with, the D1 guys, got ran out of the gym. So no matter who we would have put in either way, we lose.
We did win the third quarter, though. That was the biggest thing I'll take out of this is winning the third quarter. Just a couple more questions I wanted to ask you on this. This is going to kind of be a...
And then we want to shout out the players who did good, too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, this goes with this.
Okay,
this
go ahead.
I wanted to ask you who you thought our MVP was, or at least who's in the conversation.
I think, well, here's the deal. I think Donovan Wright from Desert Pines has to be in the conversation for three reasons. One, he might have led us in scoring. Unfortunately, since all the kids wore jersey 13, we didn't keep that good a track of it. But he dunked, and more importantly, when Chris Wood, the Finley 6'10 guy, went up for a monster dunk, he got in the way of it and didn't back down for a 6'1" kid. So I thought that was cool. I thought Julian Jacobs, organized the team well when we did have our little run there in the third quarter. Got to the hole. He impressed me, as well as the Banks kid. Give me his first name from Arborview.
Justin Banks from Arborview.
Heck of a game. He's going to be a good player for the Aggies. What about you?
Well, two kids that stood out to me that I didn't – you know, I cover basketball a little bit, but not exhaustively, so I didn't know all these kids a lot. The two kids that stuck out to me I didn't know much about were Justin Banks and Donovan Wright. They both were two of our better guys for sure. Both scored some points, and I didn't really know much about them before this. So it was fun to watch them. And I can't believe you didn't mention your guy, the kid from Sunrise Mountain. Shamarillo Tolliver just stuffed one of the Finley players in the fourth quarter. It was sick.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was one of our highlights.
And Tolliver's got to be, what, 6'1"-ish?
Yeah, probably.
And the Finley guy was, what, 6'10"-ish?
Yeah, and he just stuffed him.
Stuffed him. That was cool. That was one of our highlights for sure. And I thought the Leaks kid from Vegas played well. Possibly. Yeah, I did, at least.
Here's the deal. The two kids I thought were in our running for our MVP, and I don't know, maybe I was watching a different game than you, because you said Donovan Wright was our leading scorer. I thought it was Zimmerman. But maybe I'm crazy. The Steven Zimmerman kid. Look, all our big guys had a really rough first quarter. We got off, We couldn't grab a rebound. It was like 25-8. We couldn't get a rebound. But then from then on, we started playing better inside. In the third quarter, I bet we out-rebounded them in the third quarter and beat them. And I felt like the turnaround in the third quarter, our best big man by far was Zimmerman. I think he might have scored 7 points in that quarter alone.
Yeah, and I remember toward the end of the quarter, because I don't know if we started with him in the quarter. We started with Daniel Young.
Yeah, I don't think we did, because he had played most of the second quarter.
Yeah, and then we went to him as soon as the quarter was over. And we're like, can you go a little more in the fourth?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we felt so good about ourselves after that rally there in the third quarter. And it's kind of what made the night is the fact that, I didn't think that we would. I mean, okay, you guys are going to coach this team. If we do it again, we got to limit the amount of kids to 14. I mean, you can't get in that many kids. It's
yeah,
impossible.
That would be fair. And we did, you did think we were going to lose by 50, and we only lost by
44-ish?
Yeah, 44.
We covered. That's all that matters here on Prep Sports Now.
Yeah, I thought we played okay. To answer my original question, if I had to give an MVP, it's so tough. I think we have different candidates. My candidates would be Wright, Jacobs, and this is taking nothing away from some of the other kids. The Allen twins obviously did some good things, but I think MVP-wise, I think it was Jacobs, Wright, or Zimmerman.
I don't disagree. I thought the Wright kid was awesome. And as you know, I've been a huge fan of Julian Jacobs since he was at El Dorado.
And I've only seen him play a couple of times. And both times, I mean, he was good, okay. But he wasn't quite – I thought you hyped him up more than he was.
Okay.
And this was against Finley Prep. I thought that he lived up to the hype. I mean, he was great. He was taking the ball right at him. I mean, then they'd have six guys collapse on. We just couldn't hit shots. There's a time in the second quarter where he was getting to the basket every time, kicking it out, and we went like 1-for-15.
Yeah, we were 3-of-20 from three. Which obviously didn't help much either. A good night all the way around. I wish we could have got, I don't want to say a practice, but, just so we got to know the kids and what they could do, because there were some kids we'd never heard of and never seen play, and we don't get him in. Like the Donovan Wright kid, I don't think we played him in the first half. If I would have known he was that good, he would have been in that second group of five.
For sure, yeah. And we, like we said, we don't know much about the X's and O's of basketball, and I felt like a lot of these kids were sharp in that area, but I thought especially the Allen twins had a lot of good things to provide. It would have been nice maybe to sit down with them for a little bit and say, like, look, you know our personnel, you know basketball, what do you think we should do? Because I thought they had some really good suggestions in the game. Also, along lines of not knowing X's and O's, I know you're – I just have to mention this. I know you're a little more sensitive than me, so you might not have thought this was as funny. But I thought it was absolutely hilarious. Our boy Tua's dad on Twitter,
yeah.
I think Lori Zimmerman, I'm pretty sure that's her name, Steven Zimmerman's mom,
yep.
Tweeted a picture of us coaching, and Tua's dad added the caption. It was Kiefer – let's run the hook and ladder, and Brewer wins the corner kick. I thought that was like the best caption ever.
Yeah, that's I love it. I mean, the one regret I have is I attempted that three-pointer where I missed by about 30 feet. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Dude, that was bad.
My wrist, when I shot that, hurt real bad, and I know it looked bad to the kids, but I wish I would have at least hit glass.
Rim. That would have been nice.
But shout out to all the kids for letting us do it. We look forward to talking hoop on Prep Sports Now every Monday during the basketball season. We're going to be out there like we do game of the week, state tournament, whatever coverage we could provide, trying to give these Vegas kids their props. And we did pick our Super 7 team last week. It was very complicated because there's a lot of good players in town. We narrowed it down to 7. And the first Monday in December, that's going to be revealed on our website and in the paper. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And
jerseys for the kids this year, they look great. I saw them.
Right. And any of the kids that were on our team would automatically be the best player on my rec basketball league team. That has a lot of Las Vegas media members, including our own Taylor Byrne.
Yeah.
A bunch of former Sun staffers, Brett Okamoto, Ryan Green.
And not Ray Brewer.
Well, you got a family. You got things to take care of.
Once you have kids, you cannot play rec sports. It's that simple.
Anyway, let's transition to football. What a great week this was last week.
Finally a week that lived up to the hype. I agree with you.
The three big games we came in and talked about last week, I think, Liberty Basic, Palo Verde, Arborview, Green Valley, Canyon Springs, all pretty much came down to the last minute.
They really did. And shout out to Arborview finally getting over that hurdle to beat Palo Verde. Always kind of in the background, it's always Palo Verde and then Arborview. And Arborview was kind of that, you know, unwanted stepchild of sorts because, you know, they ran the same offense and they did a lot of the same things. And Arborview was like 29-5 in the last 2 years, but they couldn't get over Palo. They couldn't get over Gorman. Well, you know what? Arborview's the only undefeated team in town. And I thought the way they won was fitting of that struggle because those kids really never gave up. They were down. They got the onside kick. They ended up scoring, what, 14 unanswered to close the game, 13 unanswered to close.
I think even more than that. I mean, Palo only scored a safety in the entire second half, and it was because a muff punt.
Yeah.
So pretty much they outscored them. And now I don't have the score in front of me, but it was like something like 28-2 in the second half.
And shout out to Arborview. They're doing it right. They're starting on the lower levels. They're lifting weights. They're getting bigger and stronger. And if you look at the teams in town that have success, and we'll talk about the playoffs later, but more than likely the final four in the Sunset will again be Gorman, Palo, Arbor, Centennial for the third straight year. Well, if you look at the lower levels on all those teams, they have the most participation, and they keep the most kids from year after year. There's no dropouts or transfers or kids that just lose interest. So I think we've got a formula there. But Arborview, you got to feel happy for the kids. You tried to paint the picture for me, Case, but the post-game celebration and just the tears of joy is kind of why you do this.
Yeah, it was really cool. Not a lot of moments like that every year where you're like, wow, this is really cool. The kids were just so pumped up. They were all saying stuff. And it's like, you know, me, more than anything on this show, I can't stand cliches. I always call them out. But this one is so fitting. It's something everyone always says, but it's so true. That moment is something that these kids will never forget their entire lives. There's no doubt. You know, I still remember, like, the big high school football games I won in high school. The feeling's just amazing, and these kids were just so pumped up. I know it seemed like there was a lot of talking in the game, and that kind of even pumped them up more, but apparently Palo Verde was calling Arborview their little brother, which, to be honest, it was kind of true up until this point, but one of the kids is yelling, not naming any names, but he's like, who's the little brother now? And, like, that stuff's just so cool, right?
Yeah, I don't know if we promote that or not, but I like that.
Well, and I mean, I'm not promoting the talking, but I'm promoting like the whole pageantry of the game is brought up because this team has owned you for 7 years. They're calling you their little brother. And what do? You get beat up by them again in the first half, and then you come back and just
go wild. Awesome.
On it. Yeah.
It's kind of to kind of shift over to my game. I was at Canyon Springs at Green Valley. DJ Pumphrey scores 5 straight touchdowns for Canyon to help them erase a 17-0 deficit, take a 32-17 lead. Then Green Valley closes in the final 10 minutes, ends up winning the game on a 37-yard field goal by Connor Perkins. Would have been good from 50. He drained it right down the pipes. But on DJ Pumphrey's 5th touchdown, Kiefer, you've ever gone to a Green Valley game and they've got the fence that surrounds the stadium?
I've never been to Green Valley
to the swamp.
Game. Never have been to the swamp.
They get some of the best crowds in all of high schools. Wasn't that way Thursday? Instigator Nation was very small. Claims that 3-day weekends kids couldn't make it to the game.
The Palo was the worst crowd I've ever seen at Palo too. By the way,
yeah.
Arbor I thought did good traveling, but Palo, man, the stands. And I was talking to another media member too, and he's like, "Where is everyone?"
Yeah, 3-day weekend. Nobody cares about football during the Nevada Day, quote unquote. So DJ Pumphrey's 5th touchdown, he runs kind of close to that hill where all the cars are parked, and he gives him the salute, and then he does the gator chomp with the slash, which I thought was real cool. Hunky Cooper, the Canyon coach, was down his throat.
I was about to say, I don't think
that wasn't up to Hunky standards. However, just in the heat of the moment, those guys honking at you and yelling at you the whole game to get that 5th touchdown. And first time I've seen DJ in person, but his ability to stop and start again is second to none. I mean, that he stops on a dime and boop, up he goes again. So shout out to DJ Pumphrey. And then I guess in the last game of the day, Paul, our new reporter, covers Liberty.
Well, hold on. Can you not say anything about Green Valley? I mean, they won the game.
They did win the game.
All we talked about was Pumphrey. What did Green Valley do to win?
Green Valley scored in the final 10 minutes. They didn't fold up their tents, and that's what Green Valley does. That's what they did against Coronado, 19 points in the fourth quarter. That's what they did against Basic to win the Henderson Bowl, and that's what they did against Canyon Springs. Christian Lopez, sophomore quarterback, 2-minute drill to get him in field goal range. You wouldn't think the kid was a sophomore. Spiked the ball at the right time, picked up huge first downs at the right time. They did benefit from a late hit in getting their first score, and it was pretty cool. A first score in the 14 unanswered to win the game, or whatever they scored unanswered to win the game.
All right, that's cool. I just wanted a little bit on
Green Valley
we moved on.
And I got that Green Valley defense broke down a little bit too, because I know we always like to talk about
that. Oh, you want to talk about that in
the picks?
Well,
there's
another. We'll save that for the picks.
Save the pick, because you got to pull up the roster for me too.
Okay.
Okay, and then do we want to talk about the Basic Liberty?
Yeah, yeah, go
ahead. I think Basic took to heart what I said, that they get pushed around by Liberty, because they really answered the call, and they were as physical as Liberty. A great game. Basic led 22-14 in the second half. Liberty ends up coming back and winning as we expected. Last play of the game, they score a touchdown. They win 28-22. Kind of a calculated risk by Morocco. He could have took a field goal right there to win 25-22. Instead, he gave it to Capelli, who jammed it in the end zone for the touchdown. Liberty, a 21-game winning streak in league, their third consecutive league title. Still the team to beat, I think, in the Sunrise, even though the gap is definitely closed.
Yeah, I don't even know if the gap I think that's fair that the gap is closed. They just haven't been quite as dominant as maybe we thought. And I think a lot of these teams right behind them are better than we thought. I think Basic is, you know, can beat anyone on any given day.
Here's my deal with Basic. The teams are supposed to beat, you know, El Dorado, Rancho, Bonanza, Durango. They pile up the points against those guys, you know. And then the teams that are kind of parallel to them, they haven't found a way to get over and win, and that was Green Valley and Liberty, and both games were close and they came down to the end. So Basic, in the next few weeks before we get to the playoffs, is going to have to find a way to win. And I've got a great survey, folks, up on the top 10. It's going to be posted 2 a.m. Tuesday, but who's going to win the Sunrise Region? Liberty, Basic, Coronado, Green Valley, or Canyon Springs? Listen, Canyon lost to Green Valley by 1 on a field goal, and they were leading Liberty in the second quarter, in the second half. Definitely in contention. Coronado barely lost to Liberty. We'll see how they do this week against Basic. Green Valley obviously beat Basic in Canyon Springs, but it was late.
And Coronado
all late in the fourth quarter, right? So they arguably could be 0-3 in those games. And then, of course, Liberty, the defending champ, who's been tested a lot more than we expected. So go vote on the poll tomorrow. We'll see who you guys think is going to win the region, but it sure is going to be fun.
Right. Coronado, we talked about two of those teams are going to face this weekend, Coronado and Basic. It's our game of the week. What are you looking for in that one?
You know, I'm just real interested to see. Coronado has got that spread offense where they're really not designed to pound it between the tackles. And if I'm Basic, you've shown that you're nasty in the trenches by hanging in there with Liberty, and you've got a great tailback in Antre Johnson. Maybe see what you could do, pan on the rock. Challenge that Coronado defense. See if you could be the more physical team. I know this is the day and age of the spread and the day and age of the hurry-up offense, but football is still about running the ball. The team that runs the ball wins the game. The team who stops the run wins the game. If you're good up front pushing the other team around, you win. I just want a team to line up and say, I'm going to beat you. My five guys or my six guys up front are going to smack your five guys or your six guys in the mouth. We're going to smack you in the mouth in the first quarter, and then by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, you're not going to win anymore. That's the team for me that's going to win, and I think that's the team Basic has. Smack them around in the mouth. See what happens.
Sounds good to me. Before I move on to the picks, anything else I'm missing? Anything we need to talk about specifically?
Let's give a shout out to those Mojave Rattlers, baby.
Yeah, that's true.
First playoff victory since 1996. I know Antonio, the principal over there, is super bought into athletics, and that's the sign of a good principal to me is when – you got a guy who knows what a good football team could bring to a school. Mojave had been to the playoffs two times, including this year, and they picked up their first playoff win. This is a turnaround school. It's a school that struggled to meet its academic standards, and now all of a sudden kids are succeeding. Other kids are going to feel what it takes to succeed, and that's a good thing, and that's why athletics is important. Mojave, they get that first playoff win. I thought DP would beat them. Mojave scored a lot of points. It's been a great year. Thank God we've got the new realignment to give these kids some confidence. They go to Moapa Valley. It's a tough cross to bear, but somebody's got to do it this week.
Yeah, that's a really tough game. I wish this makes absolutely no sense. Not a serious suggestion.
Go ahead.
But I just wish we could reseed the games because I really want to see Moapa Cheyenne, and that may never happen because Cheyenne –
it likely
even if they beat
happen.
Boulder City, they could lose up north. They still got to win two more games. I wish we could see a rematch between Mojave and Boulder City because those two teams seem really even. Two great games the last 2 years.
And there's a little hatred there, let's be frank.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there is.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, Boulder
Mojave
City
allegedly
them.
Ran up the score two years ago against Boulder and then was talking this summer, allegedly, and Boulder handed it to him in week one.
Yeah, and Boulder beat him in a close game, so I would like to see those two teams play again, and then I'd like to see Moapa Cheyenne.
That's the only game I want to – the only game I want to see is – I love Henderson Bowl, obviously, special place in my heart, the emotion. Love to see Paolo Gorman just because of the energy and excitement, and I pray to the football gods that they give it to me next week. Please help me out. But I would love to see Milo Lewis against and Connor Mortensen, who, by the way, trained together and they're friends, if you didn't know.
Milo Lewis and Connor Mortensen?
Apparently.
Who knew?
I found out.
Two schools are about as far apart as
I know, but
be,
Connor comes into Vegas to work out at one of the local training facilities.
Interesting.
Yes. So they do have a little history.
And
with
they're probably
other.
The two best players in the one double – what are we calling it? The 1A?
The 1A.
Yeah, they're probably the two best players in the 1A, are they
yeah.
not?
Yeah. But I would like – I do – here's what I'm very curious. Ty Flanagan, a sophomore at Mojave, reminds me a little bit of Reggie Bullock from Vegas. Remember the real small, quick back of a few years ago. Interested to see how he does against Moapa Valley. As you know, Moapa Valley probably doesn't have that one player with that elite speed. If Mojave could somehow do something up front on the line to give this kid a little space to run, I think they could win game. And I know we'll talk about it later on the picks, and I'm going to take Cheyenne over Boulder, but I could tell Coach Alex Kazel how to beat Cheyenne. I figured it out.
You told him how?
Not yet, but I'm going to tell him on the podcast when
all
we
right.
get to the picks.
All right, well, why don't we get to the picks now?
Okay, shout all out right. to Mojave, though, for winning, and shout out to Boulder for winning a playoff game, too.
For sure. All right, well, the first game, lucky for you, Boulder City at Cheyenne. So we didn't even need that transition. Why don't you just tell us now?
Okay. I'm picking Cheyenne to win simply because of Milo Lewis, my best player on the field strategy. And I've argued from day one that this is Cheyenne's championship to win, state title to win. So I'm going with Cheyenne. However, I think Boulder City's got the team to beat them because the run attack of Boulder is going to control the clock. And Boulder's going to be able to go on some 5- and 6-minute drives that could produce points. And then that means Cheyenne's going to have to come down and score. And one score that doesn't go Cheyenne's way means they might have to throw. So I think Boulder has a good chance to control them up front. You know I'm in love with Milo Lewis. They're hosting the game. This is Cheyenne's game to win. They have waited all week for this game. This whole new league was designed for them to win the state title. They can't let Boulder City trip them up because I'd rather have Cheyenne playing up north and representing Southern Nevada than Boulder. I think they'd have a better chance against Tahoe.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said, that Boulder does have a chance. I got to tell you, there's maybe 3 weeks ago I told you that I would pick both Moapa and Boulder over Cheyenne. And I hate repeating exactly what I said on the picks, but my opinion has just changed a little bit on Cheyenne because I think they've gotten a lot better this last month or so. They've just, ever since they took Mojave took them to overtime and they squeaked that one out. We thought they were going to kind of have a little bit of trouble with Faith Lutheran, who throws the ball well. They blew them out by, 28 points, 4 touchdowns, something like that. Beat Clark 72-0, what we expected. But then Virgin Valley, who's been good when their best player, D. Bowler, has been on the field this year. They've been so much better, didn't get blown up by anyone. Cheyenne goes and beats them 44-14. So I feel like Cheyenne, I'm just bumping them a few points up in my power rankings, I guess, from where they were a few weeks ago. And I just can't go with Boulder City here. I would not be stunned if Boulder City won, but I think Cheyenne is kind of peaking, and I think at their best they're better than Boulder City.
Yeah, and then yesterday when we were doing the picks, we were texting back and forth talking possible upsets, and that was one of the first games we both mentioned.
Oh, yeah,
Boulder
for sure.
Could possibly upset them. For me, I think it comes down to, could the Cheyenne kids seize the moment? Could they realize what they're about to accomplish? They're one win on their home field against a team they're better than going to the state semifinals. And that is a heck of an accomplishment. So if they realize that and if they seize the moment, this is Cheyenne games to win. I think Boulder has nothing to lose, and that makes them scary.
For sure. We're in agreement this one. We both have Cheyenne. Let's move on to the other team we just gave a shout-out to, Mojave at Moapa Valley. I've got Moapa Valley pretty big. Great year for Mojave. Nothing to hang your head on, but this Moapa team is just scary.
Yeah, and when they created the new league, that was kind of the warning for the Cheyennes and Mojave. I mean, the Cheyenne and Mojaves is when you've got to go to Mesquite and Overton, you're going on a true road game. And I don't know if Mojave's designed to do that. I will tell you that Mojave is playing with house money. They lose, they could still hang their head high. They won a playoff game. They had a successful season. They've got a lot of young players that could use that moving forward. Can they find a way to stop Mortensen? I mean, this Moapa Valley team hasn't lost since mid-August, and they're scoring 45 points a game, and nobody's coming near them. When they strap up and want to play, like I saw in that 35-point quarter against Desert Pines, they're not going to get beat, and that's why I like them. Go
right.
Ahead.
I honestly don't know the answer to this, but I know you will. So Boulder City and Cheyenne winner has to go up north and play whoever wins up there. Does Moapa just hang out for
a couple
Moapa
weeks? No, Moapa plays the number two from down there.
Oh, okay.
And that's only because Moapa won a coin toss over – the Sunrise region won a coin toss over the Sunset.
But the number two has to come down here?
Yeah, the number two from the north has to come down here. So if wherever this coin is flipped or allegedly flipped, we can't confirm it because we didn't see – if it lands the other way, then Cheyenne's hosting a game they could probably win, and Moapa's got to go up into the snow, and they've lost to Truckee 1,000 straight years in a row. So
well, that was a big coin toss.
Yeah, I mean, that coin toss gets rings possibly to Overton and nothing to Chi-Town.
Wow, well, this will be interesting to watch it play out. Of course, we'll be back on Prep Sports Now to talk about it more, but let's move on to the big division for the rest of our picks, the Sunset. I always mix those up.
That's
the Sunset is starting playoffs this week, correct?
And
The Sunrise, we still have one more week of regular
correct.
Season. The Sunset, first game we're going to talk about, not very much because it's going to be a blowout. Shadow Ridge at Bishop Gorman.
Shout out to Shadow Ridge for just getting to the playoffs. If you take away the games they had to forfeit, they're close to a .500 record. And what a great venue for the kids from Shadow to close their careers out against the best team. If you're a senior at Cheyenne, at Shadow, and you realize you're never going to play football again, look at it this way. Your senior year, you went from winless to making the playoffs. You're going to play against the best Nevada has to offer, and you're going to go up against guys that are going to either be in D1 or possibly the pros, and I'm talking Nate Starks. Why not prove yourself against the best? Go out and have a great time and remember it for the rest of your life. With that said, name your score for Gorman.
Yeah, that made me think. I've probably already mentioned this on the podcast, but good luck stopping Nate Starks, because that guy just can't be tackled. It's unbelievable the amount of tackles this guy breaks.
He's got great, tremendous lower body strength, and he's very determined with the ball in his hands. And that makes Gorman dangerous. And especially next year when they lose their quarterback of 4 years and their virtually all their wide receivers, we're really going to see that kid put up some big numbers.
At least you don't have to worry about getting hurdled over by a new Solomon, as I think he knows it's illegal now.
That's illegal. Have you seen the new AT&T commercial where a high school kid hurdles over a kid?
I haven't.
And they tape it on some phone, and then they post it to YouTube right away, and somehow it gets to actual Bob Stoops, and then Bob Stoops is in the parking lot after the game.
I have not seen
to
that.
To talk to the kid, yeah.
Sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I love these new cell phone commercials. AT&T, you can't get reception anywhere in the world, just to let you know. They're not a sponsor on this show.
Never will be now.
I'm strapped on with AT&T.
I actually got a new – I got an iPhone 5,
yeah.
And the reception is much, much, much
is
improved because they have the 4G.
Yeah. Well,
it's been fast everywhere.
I have the iPhone through the office. Or, like, do you ever watch, like, NCIS LA or NCIS, the regular one?
No. We do not watch the same TV shows, not even close.
Well, like, anytime they're out on a case, it's like, okay, take a picture of him, boom, email it to a guy, facial recognition. I'm like, what cell phone provider? I got the same phone, and I can't even get checked to score the freaking Rebel game, you know, when I'm standing in front at the AT&T store. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm at AT&T Park in San Francisco, and I can't even get any reception when we were on vacation this
really?
Summer. Yeah.
Because what I found is with AT&T is the places that are like AT&T heavy always work well.
Yeah, they were good in San Francisco, like, but actually at AT&T Park, I couldn't get any reception.
Like, I don't know why, but in Philadelphia, like, the entire downtown area is like sponsored by AT&T, and it's like the best signal ever.
Yeah, you're rocking. All right, Motown Philly's back again.
Yeah, you should upgrade to the 5. It has better.
Who am I gonna call Brian Greenspun?
I'm just saying.
Say, BG, hook me up.
I think you'd be happier.
Okay, well.
I'm just saying, I didn't mean it literally. I meant I think it does better with the signal issues.
Okay.
All right.
Next game.
That's great. Durango and Centennial. I think I don't have the score in front of me. Maybe 31-0 Centennial when they played earlier in the year.
But it was close through the third quarter.
It was close through the third quarter. And correct me if I'm wrong, but here's kind of what I've gathered from Durango. I've seen them once this year. Followed their year, of course. They have 5 or 6 guys that could play with anyone, could play for any team in town. Really great players. And then beyond that, not only do they not have any depth, but they just have a lot of weak points beyond that. So it's hard to compete when it's a team game when you got a group of great players, but I just don't think they have a lot behind that. And I think that's why Centennial is going to more or less roll here.
I agree with you. I think the fact that Durango, and this is according to Coach Gerber, they haven't played a full game yet. They always take a quarter off or a half off where they just revert back to some bad techniques. And you can't do that in the playoffs, and you can't do that against a Centennial team that's pretty good. I will tell you, Centennial is battle-tested and already going to the playoffs. It seems like every week they're playing an opponent that really is going to test them, and I think that could play off when we talk semifinals next week.
Yeah, I mean, Centennial, they've got so many good guys. They have a huge advantage over a lot of their playoff opponents with their kicker. I mean, aside from Gorman, they're going to have an advantage in the special teams game against everyone, right? They've got Lance Worthington, who I talk about every week, returning kicks. They got the Frischneck kid kicking.
Who's the better than the Gorman kicker, in my opinion.
I mean, special teams, they may have an advantage over everyone.
I agree with you.
So, and then you parlay that to Trajan Peely, who, I mean, one of the best defenders in town, right?
Exactly. And then when Kobe Newton wants to run the ball hard.
He can run, yeah.
Yeah, he's good. He's like a bulldozer. Bam!
Yeah.
So Centennial's the real deal. I think they're going to play Arbor in the semis, and I think that's going to be a great game.
Oh, wow, that's going to be fun. That's going to be a good one for sure. So we both have Centennial.
And that game will be at Arbor, so We'll have to get a hotel room somewhere in St. George that night.
Trust me, they're already thinking about – they would never admit it, none of the players or anything, but I think they are already kind of thinking about that Centennial game. And I think the same thing for Centennial is probably already thinking about
Might as well talk Desert Oasis.
That's the next game.
Arbor View. They played already once this year. Arbor won 46-0. It could have been more, but running clock kind of slows that down. I think they have no problem. Desert Oasis makes the playoffs every year. They still haven't won a playoff game in school history. I don't think they have a chance on Friday night.
This is why we don't – this is why the playoffs – I don't like the new playoff system. Desert Oasis is 2-7. Why, they barely beat Sierra Vista. They're almost 1-7 there in the playoffs.
Exactly.
This is ridiculous. I mean, I even saw some things the kids were saying. Mm-hmm. Not going to be too specific, and they know they have no chance. They know they shouldn't be in the playoffs. So while we trump it up here and like, oh, it's a big accomplishment to make the playoffs, and even the kids are going, are you kidding me? We're playing another week.
Prump made the playoffs.
There's a problem.
Yeah, Prump made the playoffs. It should be the top two teams or maybe a wild card for a third with some buys factored in, but nevertheless, Desert Oasis is in. They tie with Bonanza and Cimarron with one win in the Southwest League. Real funny story out of that Bonanza-Cimarron game. Bonanza up 17, thinking they needed to win by 24 to make the postseason, throwing the ball, spiking the ball late, trying to get through. I talked to Coach Dobar. He felt awful about it. He had figured it out wrong, didn't know. So shout out to that guy for being a true guy, because he's called around and apologized to everybody that would listen about what happened there. And I've even was vocal on Twitter about, let's try to figure this out before Friday night. Maybe the organizers could send some brackets out ahead of time.
Yeah, hopefully we can get those scenarios quicker so this we can prevent something like this in the past. What happened to Cimarron? I mean, they were 3-2. They looked like a decent team. And
they just killed my Del Sol Dragons, remember
they
that?
They killed Del Sol. They beat Desert Oasis, killed Rancho, which not saying much, had a close game with Vegas. Then they lose 4 in a row, and they're not even close against teams that they should be competitive with, like Legacy and Bonanza.
Yeah, and this is a Cimarron program that's proud. I mean, back-to-back state titles in the late 90s. One of the best high school teams I've seen in a while, I think, in 2006, and they get upset by Gorman in the first round of the – no, 2005, and they get upset by Hug in the state semifinals, and what was a great game. In 06, they win the league. They're upset by Gorman in the first round of the playoffs, and it's been kind of downhill since then, Case Kiefer.
That's for sure. All right, let's move on to the next game. Legacy at Palo Verde. This is one I really wanted to talk about. I know you cannot wait until Palo Verde, Bishop Gorman, but I got to tell you, I don't think it's 100% going to happen, because Legacy's pretty good and Palo has to get by them first.
They do, and when we were talking upsets last night, this was the game that came to mind for you at least. Legacy quite can't figure out. Lost to Shadow Ridge 52-49 before the outcome was reversed on a forfeit. Lost 70-0 to Palo. To Gorman. 70-0 to Gorman, yet are pretty competitive the rest of the way out. Almost beat Centennial last week. And everybody's told me, I have not seen Legacy in person. I have not been out to a practice because, to be quite frank with you, that is way too far for me to drive. I can't justify that at all. And everybody I talk to, though, raves about Legacy. And I think they've got a legit chance against a Palo Verde team that likely sees the writing on the wall. They've lost to Liberty. They've lost to Arborview. They've lost to Centennial. The only thing they have to play for is to make everybody in the world happy with Palo Gorman, the game of all games, the game everybody wants to play in, the game everybody wants to be at. To get that game, to fulfill the obligation of the world, they need to beat Legacy, which – if I had to put a line on the game, I'd only make Palo like a 6 or 7 point favorite.
Yeah, I think Palo's probably a touchdown favorite here, but I've got to go with Legacy. I think they're going to break your heart. I'm worried a little bit about their motivation level because, look, they already lost 70-0 to Gorman, so are they really like that fired up to go beat Palo just to know they're going to play Gorman again? I don't think that's an issue, but it is something you could think about. Look, I just think Legacy, before they played Centennial, had given up 7 points in the entire month of October. They gave up 21 to Centennial, but it was 21-14, exactly the score I predicted, by the way.
And the game was close, and it was 14-14 in the fourth.
Yeah, the game was close. They played great defense. I think they might have trouble scoring on Palo, but I have it 16-14 Legacy. The other thing is I kind of feel bad picking against Paolo because if Ryan Bouye touches the ball enough, Paolo is going to win because the kid is unbelievable. The first two touchdowns in the – I think he scored the first two touchdowns against Arbor, maybe only the first. He definitely scored on like a 56-yard run or short pass to open the game and then had another long run. I don't know if it went for a touchdown. But then he didn't touch the ball very much from then on out. So if Paolo – if he doesn't touch the ball more than 15 times, I think Legacy can beat him. But if Paolo just keeps giving the kid the ball, I think they'll win.
He does everything right. Kick return, run the ball, defense, nobody throws against him. I would love to see Ryan Smith, Gorman's receiver, against Ryan Bouye, Paolo's defender. Both about the same size. Probably Paolo's got a little more speed than Gorman at that spot, but with Solomon throwing him the ball, it makes for great entertainment. I'm telling you right now, I hate to sound like I'm harping on this, but Las Vegas high school football needs that game every year. It just creates so much buzz and excitement. It brings people out of the woodworks. It's a great night. And even though all signs point to a major Gorman victory if we get the game this year, I'm thankful we have to play the game.
Didn't we already make like a future bet on this?
What was the number?
I think I had like Gorman 35.
Minus 35?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think you argued Paolo.
Well,
I could be wrong. We would have to go back and listen, but yeah. I think so.
This isn't the Paolo of old, and hopefully they get back to where they usually are in the playoffs. But just a really rough go of it this year. Tough schedule, among some other things. And it's a shame that we're even talking about Legacy possibly beating them.
All right, next game. We've already talked about it, but game of the week. This one's great. Basic at Coronado. I really do not know who's going to win. I think it's at Coronado, too. I think it's a pick 'em, personally.
I agree with you. It is a pick 'em, and very significant. The winner gets to host a playoff game. The loser likely headed to Canyon Springs for the toughest game of the week. Nobody wants to get matched up against DJ Pumphrey and Canyon Springs at Canyon. I know Basic went there last year and won with relative ease, but that's a tough place. That would be a tough cross to bear. So, in my opinion, the playoffs start today for Basic and Coronado. And I picked the Wolfpack. I think with Boyd and Johnson, they're still two elite players, and they're arguably a player or two away from being undefeated as well.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking back too far, but when I see this game, the first thing I remember is probably the biggest upset of 2 years ago when Coronado beat Basic. Was that kind of the first sign that maybe Coronado was about to turn things around? Of course, I think the biggest deal is they got Brad Talich in as a new coach this year. He probably installed some new things. They did a great job. But was that kind of the sign that maybe they had some talent coming through and they were going to be a power?
Yeah, Coronado has always had some physical good players. They just really never put it together. This year, they're coached very well. And listen, I'd love to have a home game to get a home playoff game. They're right where they want to be. They lost to Liberty, but they kept it close. And they kind of control their own destiny. And if we're talking about Coronado Gorman in the state championship game, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'd be a little surprised.
I mean, if we were talking about that in the middle of August when we did the first show, yeah, I'd be surprised. But now would I be surprised? Not really.
They'd have to beat probably Liberty and Green Valley to get to that point, right?
They would have to beat Liberty and Green Valley.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
They were beating Green Valley by 19 going into the fourth quarter.
That's true.
And they had Liberty by, they had Liberty.
I'm really excited to see this team. As we've talked about them all year. I watched them on TV against Silverado, but haven't been up close.
Yeah, and that was just a bad week for Silverado, obviously, because they've proven to be a decent team, especially with Alex Cater.
Yeah, it's tough for me to know if they're a decent team because it's hard to know what's going on over there. Can't really get a hold of anyone. But let's go to the next game. Del Sol at El Dorado. I think your boys are going to win.
I think they are, too. This is the last game of the year for both teams. Del Sol, listen, they gave Coronado a little bit of a run last week, 42-28. Just a bad year defensively for the Dragons. They're giving up nearly 40 points a game. Probably facing a team that mirrors them a little bit in El Dorado on Friday night. Again, last game of the year for both teams. I take Del Sol.
Del Sol's offense has actually been pretty decent. They put up points. It's just I don't think they can stop anyone.
Can't stop a nosebleed.
Yeah, all right. Del Sol, both of us. Liberty is hosting Foothill, excuse me. And I think Liberty's going to win big.
I think they are too. Now, when the schedule makers made these games, they made it to where, you know, league title games would be at the end of the year. Hence, like Arbor v. Palo Verde and Canyon Springs, Las Vegas High in the Northeast, which we'll talk about next. But this was supposed to be the Southeast Championship.
Well, it has been for the last 2 years, right?
Yeah, but you could have never predicted the amount of injuries for Foothill. And even though Liberty has taken a small step back, they are going to absolutely destroy Foothill in a game that even if they lose, they'd still be the number one seed.
Right. All right, we both like Liberty. Green Valley goes to Silverado. I think that's bad news for Silverado, and even worse news that they have to play old neighborhood rival Liberty next week. I think they're going to lose both these games by at least 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, but I will put Green Valley on upset alert a little bit. I know that they're undefeated in league play and they won the league title last week. But what do they have to play for against Silverado?
That's true.
They lose, nothing happens. They get injured or banged. Do you play your ones the whole time and maybe Sam gets hurt or maybe Christian Lopez gets hurt or maybe. Who knows? Your kicker rolls an ankle walking out into the locker room, or do you want to? And I guess the same thing goes for Liberty. Do you play your ones the whole time and risk an injury, or do you pull them back and do they want to stay sharp? It's like that whole argument with the Packers last year. Are they going for the perfect season, or do you want to stay sharp, or do you want to risk anybody getting hurt? But Green Valley's in a real tough spot, especially since Silverado is a ground and pound team. They've got a running back who gets the ball 35 times a game, an offensive line that's big. They passed every eye test in town.
I like your comparison because then, of course, it didn't matter because the Packers ended up losing to the Chiefs, which would be a lot like Green Valley losing to Silverado.
Exactly.
And it's at Silverado. It was at Kansas City. Maybe you're on to something. But I'd still be stunned if Silverado won, and I'd be disappointed as we couldn't write a story about it.
Yeah, did you pull up that roster for Green Valley? We'll stretch it out a little because I want to tell you one player that I was impressed with Green Valley, and I'm sure people email me and tell me how wrong I am. But
all right, here you go.
We'll see.
You were supposed to watch the defense.
I did. I tried to watch the defense. Well, first of all, this kid, number 23, Albert Lake, he's a DB. He's like 5'8", 150, and he does provide that speed that Green Valley was lacking, just to let you know. He's a pretty quick kid. The Rashad Montgomery kid on the D-line, 6'2", 210, he is as good as advertised, as our listener told us. So when you combine Rashad Montgomery on the line with our boy number 90, Keita Salawalaki, whatever, my man Keita.
Keita Salakiru.
Yes, he's good. And then, of course, Sam is virtually everywhere on the field. I mean, that guy goes every play, he's near the ball.
Sam Thor McAloon.
Yeah, and I can't say his last name, so that's why I passed. But that Green Valley front is semi-legit, and I think a good reason why they're – With that said, I'd be a little nervous against Silverado. As I try to find this name on my phone, I apologize,
Kiefer. Who can't you find?
This kid from Silverado wanted me to give him a shout-out, and I feel bad that I can't find his name.
You failed. Ouch. Well, maybe next week, because we know they for sure do have a game next week.
Yeah, they will for sure have a playoff game. Okay, let's move on.
All right.
I apologize to the guy from Silverado who asked me to give a shout-out. I just can't find his name on my Twitter handle.
Okay, next game. Canyon Springs and Las Vegas, not all that different. I mean, you look at it, they both got a great running back. Of course, Canyon's is a little bit greater with DJ Pumphrey, but Vegas has Andrew Moreland. They have some good players on some other positions, but struggle a little bit defensively and up front. I think it could be closer than you think. I'm not going to pick against Canyon, but wouldn't be stunned if Vegas gives them a run here.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick against Canyon either, but I was at the game, and they were pretty demoralized blowing that lead to Green Valley, and it's going to take a lot from Hunky Cooper to get these guys ready to play again because I think they see the writing on the wall where now they're the 2 seed and they're going to have to play a Coronado or a Basic, which might not be the winning game. And I think Canyon right now, you want to be peaking at the right time of the year, and I don't know if they're peaking. With that said, Vegas is fired up, and they're ready to go, and they think they could win the game. And the Moreland kid ran the ball last week for 200 yards against Valley, and they gave it to him like 20-plus times, which if they do against Canyon, I think they have a chance to win. I think this game's going to be very, very close. I'm taking Canyon too, but if Vegas won, I wouldn't be surprised. And let's be honest, Canyon and Vegas are going to play Coronado and Basic. We just don't know who's hosting each game or who's playing who.
They could both easily lose.
They could, yeah, who knows what's going to happen. And to be honest with you, I don't know who I'd want to play Basic or Coronado in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't want to play either of them.
Yeah, so who knows what's going to happen there.
All right, last game, Rancho and Valley.
Good. Congratulations. The Valley's going to get its first league win. Shout out to all the kids at Rancho who hung out all year and tried their hardest. I think only good things are going to happen over there once they start getting numbers up. It's not because the kids don't care, because they do, Case, even though they're not going to win a game this year. And shout out to everybody who has contacted me about helping Rancho get new uniforms. I've had 4 people call. As soon as the season's over, we're really going to take our plan to the next level. So shout out to Mr. Lopez and Susan over at Kadon, who's helped us out so far. I think we're going to get this accomplished for those kids at Rancho.
Sounds good. I've got Valley too. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next week.